Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
They brought some money into the baseball coffers by going seven games. You know, they don't want a four-game sweep. But on their fan base, we ain't got no fingernails left.
Yeah, really.
So the worst-case scenario would have been for the Dodgers to pull things off and win tonight, and then the Astros make it into the World Series.
Well, to us, but you know, and a lot of people have come in, and I've been on social media. A lot of people feel like the Fox Sports guys are pulling for the Dodgers, and they are. But you got to think of it in TV terms. Los Angeles is a much more attractive market for what they want to do. There are no East Coast markets. There are no Midwest markets. You know, so I'm thinking. I mean, I want Braves to win now, obviously, but I'm just thinking the way they think. And yeah. Houston and Los Angeles was the best of what's left. You got to remember the other two teams of the four teams that were left in the NLCS. Three of those teams are in states where college football is dominant this time of year. You know, well, so Los Angeles, they ain't playing no football out there, no college football. You know, the Lakers just got finished. And so they got that whole market to themselves, you know, as far as the Dodgers goes, basically, you know. So that's what Fox Network is looking at as far as that goes. They don't have any Yankees or Red Sox. You know, your homeboys, both of them just fell flat on their faces. The Cubs and White Sox, they were hoping for Chicago to be in. They ain't there. No St. Louis. And so those markets that are those diehard Midwestern and East Coast markets are not in it. And so the Dodgers are the last ones left. And so that's why, yeah, if you feel like they're pulling for the Dodgers, yeah, they're absolutely right. They are.
Hang on. I'll let you get on because you came in here a little bit late and you came with both barrels, and that was great. Yeah. But I'm going to argue this. Well, that's all well and fine, and that's true.
No, it's not well and fine, but I'm just saying that's why it's happening.
Sam, relax. See, yeah. You got in here late, you got your coffee, dial it down. My point is this. While I agree with you, you're given a perspective from the people behind the scenes. Yes, all the network and all the executives and all of them feel exactly how you said. That's all well and fine. You started this off by saying the people who are watching the games, us, feel that way about Joe Buck and John Smoltz. And I'm saying that should not be the case. They're not supposed to get out there and let you believe that they want the Dodgers because of everything you just said. They're supposed that's the way it came across. I'm just saying.
I'm not talking about the studio guy. Big Poppy and the dude and A-Rod, them dudes in the studios.
Okay, well, you didn't say that.
I know Smoltz ain't pulling against the Braves.
Okay, that's what I was about to argue because people are saying the other thing that I'm talking to up in Chicago and I'm talking to other friends and they're saying it's Smoltz. Is pulling for the – listen, everybody shoots from their heart instead of their head when they talk about these things. Joe Buck been getting it for years. Every time the Cardinals are there in the postseason, he gets an earful saying he's pulling for the Cardinals. Everything, again, I agree with you, that's all well and fine. But the people – and if you're saying the studio guys are saying that, that's still not them doing their job. They should keep their mouth shut and be impartial. I'm not feeling that.
Studio guys are all for the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, that's all well and fine. But, yeah, it's coming from A-Rod. So, again, you put him in the same category as the Astros as far as I'm concerned. You know, but Big Poppy and Frank and is it Frank? No, Frank's on the other one, right?
Frank Thomas is on
Frank's
there.
On Frank this Thomas. One. I get them confused, but they should not be doing that. It should not come across that way. I didn't feel that way, even though you and I are in media. We understand that to be the case, and we know they want that. I started off by saying it went seven games. They made their money, okay? But I don't hear that from Buck and Smoltz. I don't hear that from the TNT guys or TBS guys that were calling the Rays and the Astros. I didn't hear that, but you know, everybody hears things differently. So, you know, I don't know what to feel about this Braves team, man. Like, yeah. How do you feel? I mean, I want them to win, and we've watched them grow over these last couple of years, and the stories that are connected with this team are wonderful. Okay, I mean, listen, when you know you've made it when Jeremy Schapp does a piece on you, and he did one on Freddie Freeman,
yeah,
a couple days ago, and it was a great piece. It really was, but I just don't have the same investment as I have in other teams that have ascended to, you know, that level of his luck. I mean, you can't compare it to the guys in the 90s. All right? It's a whole different, and I'm not saying that they're better, because this team is 10 times more exciting than that Braves team. Ain't even close.
But that's the thing, though. But we knew that team had the starting pitching. We could bank on that starting pitching. This has been a pleasant surprise, the starting pitching that we've gotten in this series. And some people have wondered if Brian Snitker hasn't gone and made moves a little too soon with a starter that had gotten off to a good start and you know, maybe let him go to a fifth or sixth inning instead of pulling him in the fourth. So those are some things that they're watching. But that's the way you manage the game today. I know it. I get it. You know.
You're trying to say analytics.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything. I'm not going to say that word. But that's how you manage today. But I mean, I was impressed with what they did in Game 4, because after Game 3 and that 15 run shellacking, we were able to sit back and say, whoa.
And that's the way you want to lose that game.
But that's the thing. Well, I mean, it was one of those games that was over so early. You're like, why don't we just put a towel out there and come back tomorrow? And you wondered how the team was going to come back the next day. And they came back the next day just fine. So that gives us, you know, reason to believe they'll come back tonight and take care of business and do what they have to do. Buehler's a tough pitcher. He's a tough starter for them. He knew he had to have it. They gave him the ball at the time when his team had to have it. You know, look, you know, from the manager on down with that team, they know what this year means. They know what this postseason means. People have said it since before the season started. It's theirs. They're supposed to get it. Braves got one more game to stand in their way, and we go there against Tampa. That'll be better. You know, we start the season against the team that we'll end the season against the team that we started the season against. Yeah. And let's hope we have better results, because them dudes did a little something to us down there. they were good. You know what? And they'll admit they don't have the stars. They don't have the big names. But they come out and they battle you and they play good baseball. This Braves team, you mentioned the 90s. And that's why if this was still the Superstation Braves, the guys in the Fox studio would be saying, okay, Braves. But they're not the Superstation Braves. So the whole country doesn't know this team the way we know them or the way that team in the 90s was known.
But as I said, the people who have seen this team, and they've been seeing them a lot more over the last few months because of the way they've played, this team is 10 times more exciting. They are so exciting, they've annoyed people. So that's a good thing. When you got Acuña being talked about in a way where it's, I wish he'd shut up and sit down. I can't stand him. That's what you want. You want the exuberance to bleed through and people pick sides and they talk about this team in a way. Because if they're talking about you, you must be doing something right. Correct?
That's it.
So
that's it.
But I just, man.
When do you know that you've arrived?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
And the thing about it is that the momentum is shifted, though. And that's my worry. I almost wish it was the other way around, where the Braves were coming back on the Dodgers. Because here's the thing. As you said, the Dodgers are supposed to win it all this year. That's what they've been saying that from day one. Okay? So if they go out and get a lead on this Braves team, and then the Braves start coming back, they're the ones who are going to get tight going into a Game 7. I think it's reversed, and I don't know that what's going on tonight hasn't put the Dodgers in a position where they really want to be, because they've battled back and they feel like, okay, yeah, we tripped a little bit in the beginning of this series, but we are now showing everybody who we are. And so this is why tonight, I don't know, I'm throwing my hands up, and we're going to talk more baseball coming up later on in the show. We're going to talk to Corey McCarty. He's going to join us at 7:20. Quick rundown of what's going on here. Up next, we're going to talk some college football, obviously a lot of stuff that happened yesterday, and coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get into some local stuff, but we're going to kind of cover some games from yesterday, obviously starting with the King's coronation back in Tuscaloosa, getting back on the sidelines and doing what he did. But going into yesterday's games, as Sam and I prepped for the show, he said something that isn't really official, but it will be, because you're going to say it next. And I hope somebody copyrights it on our behalf. because once again, we come up with something that's just a gem and people are going to steal it. But we're going to do that next. And again, listen for the phrase from Mr. Crenshaw. It will explain what you saw yesterday. And then later on in the hour, we're going to wrap up the NBA season. Just getting started on a Sunday morning. It's Sam and Greg. Ken's pushing the buttons as our producer. We want to thank him. We'll hear from him, too, get his thoughts on his Bulldogs. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. until 9. We are the opening act for a full day of sports. Football, of course, followed by the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas. It's the Douglas boys. They'll be joining us again. Mr. Douglas. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas at from 9 to 11 and an 11 to 1 countdown to kickoff with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. Mr. Crenshaw, I should ask before we get into this stuff here, how you been? How was your week?
Okay.
How was your week?
Okay, good week. Other than all the things that that were taking place and going on, you know, the Falcons, you know, going through the thing. We found out late Sunday night that a coaching change was coming. We thought it might happen. We found out that was going to be official coaching change and general manager. We found out that Raheem Morris was going to be stepping in, and then from that point, just went all of a sudden in the middle of the week, the facilities shut down. Out at Falcons. And we'll get into all that in 8 o'clock hour with D. Orlando Ledbetter and more as a sobering note as we lost a member of our media fraternity. And D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to talk about Vaughn McClure and remember him coming up at 8:20. But, you know, the buildup was coming toward college football. And that's the thing you were just thinking about this week is, you know, okay, what's going to happen this week? And then we hear that Nick Saban's not going to be at the game because he tests positive. And I'm like, whoa, what does that do to things? And people start thinking in their mind, okay, so if Georgia beats him and he's not there, does that count as the record of Saban never losing to his assistants? Or is it that they beat Saban's team but not Saban? Well, now all that's flown out the window because we saw what happened last night. Nick Saban did show up, and in the second half, Alabama showed up. But that's just leading up to this week. Just, you know, we're wondering how that was going to play out, and you're waiting for it, and then, but I mean, like I said, you said I had a name for this Saturday, and I feel like yesterday was Impression Saturday. What?
Can you hang on just a second? See, okay. How did we start this off? I asked you how you were doing. You personally,
yeah,
I was, yeah, and you just did like a 2-minute sports report on Lemon Live. And folks want to know how you doing. They want to know how our weeks are, and because we had technical issues in the first segment, I was backing up and going, "Hey, man, how's Sam doing? We heard Sam in a week," and so that's what I was doing. And you got a lot of coffee in that cup I gave you. You got my Jazz Chicago cup with you this morning? Because you just like went down.
Absolutely.
It was like a slalom. You turned into Franz Klammer. Is that his last name?
Slalom? Yeah, Franz Klammer.
Franz Klammer. That was pretty
good. Jean-Claude Keeley.
Well, that's even farther back. But I mean, yeah, you just kind of went. Okay, I'll let you go. But I wanted to find out how you personally we're doing. You had a good week. Everything
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a Jesse. Week. I got Jesse stories. I was wondering how you felt about them taking Tab away. I know that was one of them drinks that you remember from back in the day. Me too.
Oh, man, yeah. My grandmother used to drink them things.
See, yeah, Tab. My mother too.
Bad.
The first diet drink without actually calling it a diet drink. But yeah, so we wanted to find
nasty
out
nasty stuff, man.
Yeah, how you felt about
tastes
that?
Tastes like medicine. Tastes like medicine in a can.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing: the people that liked it in a way. I'm trying to think of something. It's like people who drink Jägermeister. There are people you mentioned, hey, you want to do a shot of Jägermeister? And they will turn their face into a position that makes them feel like they just had smelling salts run under their nose. But the people who like Jägermeister, man, they love it. And it was the same thing with Tab. It was an acquired taste, but the people, man, that battled through and decided to like it, like you said, your grandmother or whoever, it was a thing. And it was mostly women. It was catered to them, and they loved it. And that's all I bought. I'd ask my mother, you know, it was another drink I always wanted, and it's gone away. I used to love me Squirt. Remember Squirt?
Yeah.
That gone too. That's gone too.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That You know, another drink, like it was Fresca. They had Fresca, yeah, and it went away, and they brought it back here a few years back, and they had to put some different flavors in it. It was still Fresca.
Okay. All right. Like I said, we just wanted to find out how you were doing, man. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com.
Got into bad soft drinks, but go ahead.
So this is what I wanted to tee up. Sam and I were prepping, and we've talked about this. We get together because, you know, we're not together where we put together the show. So we talk throughout the course of the week. And so Friday, we're talking about what we're going to talk about this weekend, and obviously knowing that things are going to be fluid with the games on Saturday. And as we started talking about the games, you said something. And when you said it, I felt bad because I'm like, oh, is that this weekend? Well, hang on a second. I never heard it this weekend before. This is not like rivalry weekend or, you know, homecoming. He said something that was like I never heard of before. And I asked you, and you said, no, this is something you just came up with. And just like the biscuits and gravy game that we do for Corky Kell, people are going to steal it. And they're going to start calling it that. We're not going to get credit for it. So I just want you to know, y'all out there, if you hear anybody else saying this, it came from Mr. Crenshaw first. What did you call this particular Saturday, yesterday's college matchup games?
It was Impression Saturday.
Okay.
Impression now, Saturday.
Why that name?
Not because of music by Curtis Mayfield. because Impression Saturday, because, you know, you got some games going on, and it's the last chance for the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12 to have the pollsters, the, you know, postseason awards voters all to themselves. Starting next week, Big 10's in. Next week, Pac-12 comes in. And they're all going to be vying for spots in the national rankings and for those pollsters. And we got a pollster coming on at 7:20, Corey McCartney. He's going to talk baseball with us, but he has a Heisman vote. That's when you see what you saw yesterday over at Bobby Dodd Stadium in Grant Field, the shellacking that Georgia Tech took. And I figured Clemson was going to come out and hang a big number. Not because they want to be mean and beat up on Georgia Tech, but because it was their last chance to make an impression without the other teams, without Ohio State playing. And because Alabama and Georgia were playing last night. So it was a chance for them to make a big impression, a chance for Trevor Lawrence to make a big impression on the Heisman voters.
And he did.
And that was the thing. So it was Impression Saturday. Also for the rest of the teams that were playing. You think about Alabama and Georgia. Of course Nick Saban was going to get on the sideline. He was making a statement. Because the chances are those teams are going to play again later on this season in the SEC Championship. If things play out the way we think they may play out. Then there are those who fell flat on their face. Mack Brown's return to North Carolina had been this big deal. It had been this big deal. Yeah. And we're thinking maybe, because of what they did against them last year, they could be the team in the ACC that gives Clemson a little heat. They went down to Tallahassee and fell flat on their faces. Yeah. They scrambled to try to get back in the game. And I'm going back and forth with my nieces who are in Tallahassee who can't believe it because they watched Florida State play the last couple of years and know that Florida State has been stinking. Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't believe this is a whole different team. I don't know who these guys are. But it was like the return. It was like Bobby Bowden was back on the sideline. It was that kind of Florida State on the first three quarters of that game. North Carolina rallied back, but Florida State gets the win. And you know what happens to that number five ranking. You know, so that's the thing. Some teams was kind of feeling some pressure, I think, yesterday. Because
Tennessee was another one. Tennessee let Kentucky go in there and beat them. You let South Carolina take it to Auburn. That was the big game last week. Auburn was going to make some noise moving forward. But now South Carolina shut them up. But let's dip our toe into this Georgia-Alabama game. And before we do, I know Ken's back at the station. He's got some sound from Kirby Smart, man. I'm just going to let you throw it out there, whichever one you got.
As far as the second half, offensively, you know, I thought, number one, we turned it over. Can't do that and beat good teams. And we didn't convert third downs to sustain drives. And disappointing because I thought we were able to run the ball.
Kirby Smart talking about yesterday's game. Yeah, I was going to get into this whole second half thing. And I don't know, what did you see? This is what I saw. I saw a team that looked like the other two times they played Alabama. They came out and they punched and then they took a counter punch and they punched again. You look at those last two matchups between Alabama and Georgia had the upper hand going into halftime. They had to lead early and let these guys get back in. I also had an issue with Stetson Bennett's touch in the red zone. Now, yeah, he did throw a couple touchdowns, but it just looked like when he got down close at times, you know, there was no touch of the ball. He had some velocity, but it was the touch I thought was missing. What did you see?
Yep, that's happened the second half. I think they just tightened the screws on him a little bit and threw some coverages out there that he, you know, got turned around on, made some costly interceptions. The guy making his first on the road start kind of showed up. You know what I mean? You would like for him to play the game on the road somewhere else other than Tuscaloosa for his first road game. And you know, it, well, you know, he played a game on the road in Arkansas, but what you would figure as a starter, you want him to go somewhere and have a full game on the road in the SEC before he had to make this big start at Tuscaloosa. We like what we'd seen from him, especially the second half against Tennessee. But last night, you know, that was a difficulty. Like Coach Smart said, the run game was there, but the second half, you know, not the best game. And, you know, I think we have some more from Coach Smart. Ken, we got something else from him talking a little bit more about Stetson.
Stetson's got to just play within himself and allow the people to help him around him. And we got to help him with the run game around him because we can't throw the ball that many times and hope to be effective.
Yeah. Again, 2017 title game, Georgia led 13-0 at the half. 2018 SEC championship game, Georgia led 21-14 at the half. And, of course, they went in halftime yesterday, 24-20. And it was the way Alabama marched down the field, though, late in that game. It gave you reason to pause. And to me, again, as I watched, before we get out of this segment, though, Sam, don't you think we should bring in the biggest Georgia Bulldogs fan we got?
Yeah, why don't we do
that? Get his thoughts on this. Yeah. Our producer, Ken Roundtree.
Come on in, Ken.
All right, man, I'm just going to – actually, we should just let him talk till we got to go to break because he'll know when that is. But give us your thoughts, man, on this matchup and how it played out yesterday and how you feel about your team.
All right, real quick. I told you after the Arkansas game, Stetson Bennett wasn't the guy. He's not the guy that's going to win you an SEC championship. He's a nice story, good kid. He's just not that dude. I think it showed up yesterday. You saw why he was the fourth-string quarterback going into preseason camp. If you watch the game closely, he does not go through his progressions other than the first two. The first two are not open. He's either scrambling or he's throwing it away or he's trying to force it in. There's several times last night in the second half he had wide open receivers down the field that a Jake Fromm or anybody else could have found, but he didn't look that way because he can't go through his progressions. I wrote an article yesterday. It's up on 929thegame.com. We interviewed Mike Griffin from DogNation.com. If JT Daniels can get into a game, Georgia will not lose another game this year. That's what Mike Griffin thinks. I agree with him because if you just talk to some of the SEC coaches around the SEC, they are high on JT Daniels. I don't know why he's not getting into the game other than maybe he hasn't picked up the offense the way Kirby likes. Kirby has this really bad habit of sticking with a guy if everything's going okay. He stuck with Jake Fromm through thick and thin. Even when we had Justin Fields on the bench, it's obvious that he was way better than Jake Fromm. And I think that's a downside of Kirby Smart. He likes an underdog kind of thing. He likes a guy that controls the offense. But I think there's more talented quarterbacks on this roster other than Stetson Bennett that could give you an SEC championship, and I don't think Stetson's that guy that can do it.
What you saw out of Alabama yesterday, what you saw if you watched any of the Georgia Tech Clemson game, who do you feel right now those two?
Here's the thing is, we knew what Bama was. We know about their wide receivers. We know they can run the ball. I don't think Bama is going to get any better throughout the season. I think Georgia offensively and defensively, they have a higher ceiling of getting better. I think what you see from Bama right now and what you see from Clemson right now, that's it. That's as good as they're getting right now. So for me, for Georgia, if we can – elevate the offense a little bit more because I think they have tons of room to grow. We can beat Bama, and we could probably have a game with Clemson if we can get to the college football playoff. But I think as far as Bama and Clemson, I think this is as good as we're seeing them right now. I don't think their offense are decent or on the defensive side of the ball. They have room to grow. They are where they are right now.
I think they played a better game defensively than I thought. I mean, they gave up 48 at Ole Miss last week. And so that's what I was thinking. I was saying, okay, Georgia's going to do all right against these guys. And like you said, with a different quarterback, maybe get a different result.
Well, that's the thing, Sam. If you have wide open wide receivers running down the field, the quarterback doesn't throw in the ball, you can't put up 48 points.
I look forward to this schedule, and I think they're going to take out today, yesterday's loss on Kentucky. Florida had the week off because things got canceled with them, but moving forward, and the possibility of that's the next hiccup with this team moving forward. We can talk about that more, get your thoughts on what that's going to look like and what this Florida team is going to look like after having this week off because of the pandemic. But moving forward, we are going to get into the NBA and kind of wrap up this season and our final thoughts on what we saw and what we may see moving forward. When's the next season going to start? Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, check us out on the radio.com app. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Did you hear what was going on during that sports update, Sam? And the comment from the Lexus section?
I didn't tell him. I just told you.
Oh, okay. That was beautiful. You want to come out? Sam, I'm going over notes, and we're going to talk about the NBA, but I'm looking over some other stuff, and I'm kind of halfway hearing the update, right? And I'm listening, but I'm not really listening. And then right in the middle of it, I didn't like that answer. It just cracked me up. But I couldn't remember the context. Can you come on and give that opinion, Ken?
Well, it's Kirby saying that, you know, Stetson's growing and getting better, and he just had to learn from it. And blah, it's just like it's coach speak on I'm still behind Stetson. I'm like, no, that's not the answer that you give in that situation. I'm sorry. Stetson Bennett pooped the bed last night and threw three interceptions. He needs to own up to it. If you're going to say he's going to get better, he needs to be Mac Jones better by December, or you need to put JT Daniels in. Georgia fans are tired of losing to Bama when we have as good as players as Bama, but for whatever reason, we don't have the quarterback or we don't have the coaching to put us over that hump. Last night, Georgia could have beat Bama if the quarterback saw the wide open guys running down the field. It's a quarterback issue. He's not good enough. Put somebody else in.
At what point do you start giving credit to the defense and doing some things and making adjustments and movements? Because maybe it's his line of sight. It could be anything.
Yeah, when you're 5'11", yeah, it's going to be your line of sight because you can't see anything.
So obviously he's done something. Okay, so then what's his advantage over the other guys who you want in the game? What is it that Kirby's saying that gives him the reason why he's putting him in as the starter now as opposed to the other guys?
I don't know. I can't say a 5'11 quarterback who has limited arm strength. He knows the offense. That's what it is. He knows the offense, and that's what Kirby likes out of quarterbacks. He knows the offense. He can't change the plays at the line of scrimmage like Jake Fromm could. So he's not at the Jake Fromm level, and he doesn't have the Jake Fromm arm. So other than he knows the offense, and I guess he can get the guys – in the right set. I don't know if JT Daniels has having a problem learning the offense. I don't know. That's the only thing that I can think of that's holding him back. Because he's cleared to play. He has the better arm talent. He is certainly the better quarterback than Stetson Bennett is. I have no idea why JT Daniels is not playing.
Okay. Well, we have seemed to have lost Sam again. Don't know why. Maybe it's because you were on a tangent and Sam just backed up 10 yards and punted. We were going to talk NBA. Let's keep giving a check 1-2 if we get Mr. Crenshaw back here. But you had such passion about this, so I figured we better let you get this off your chest. And so that's why I wanted to bring you on, Ken. Listen, I don't go down that rabbit hole that is the Georgia Bulldogs and their fan base and try to explain or understand their reasoning for doing wanting this or wanting that. It's you know, it's something that I have attempted in the past. I don't have a vested interest in the school, didn't go there, but doing what we do here, you know that if you go down that road, there's going to be 15, like if we, 404-741-0929, Georgia fans get a hold of that we're not going to be able to talk about anything else today, and they will just chew Kirby apart. But I'm saying to you, at some point, when do you give Saban and his staff and that team credit for adjustments? Because as we talk about that game, one of the things that I noticed, at least to me, was, again, that second half and how they came back. And why is that the case every time, or at least the last three times, two times, and now the third time, when Kirby Smart's team goes up against his mentors?
I don't know. I mean, Greg, we saw some things that Kirby did last night that were kind of Saban-esque. I remember they're down in the red zone, and they just got Alabama to jump outside. Not once, but twice on the play. The officials didn't call it.
That's right.
Officials didn't call it the first time, and they call it the second time. They had no intention of snapping that ball.
Nope.
But they figured they wait and they wait and they wait. Alabama would jump. That's the kind of strategic thing that you don't want to see, that kind of cat and mouse kind of game that you see between those two coaches. You just want to see them do some different things in the second half. I'm agreeing with Ken is saying, though, there were some open receivers. And in a game like that, your quarterback, if he's going to be big time, he's got to survey the whole field. He can't just get one section of it. If Alabama finds out that's what you're going to do, well, yeah, that's when you're in trouble. And that's what he showed them. So, you can't give them that. Like you said, they've been picked apart the week before down at Oxford, Mississippi. Ole Miss hung 48 points on that defense. So, I mean, it's not like they're that fantastic, great Alabama defense from the past. You know, they're not. You know, they're good. They're great athletes, and they're going to get better as the season goes on, I think. But, you know, they don't go from giving up 48 points at Ole Miss a week before to being airtight last night if you don't have a quarterback that can see the whole field and find those open receivers.
Yeah, open receivers. That was your guys' problems. Mine was his touch in the red zone. Ken, go ahead. NBA season's over with. They can wait. Go ahead, man.
Well, I was just going to piggyback on what Sam about the Alabama defense. They weren't doing anything exotic. They were doing exactly what they needed to do against Stetson Bennett. They were one-on-one on the outside because Stetson Bennett does not throw to the outside hardly. He likes to throw in the middle of the field. So what do? They clog up the middle of the field. Any receiver going in the middle would have two or three guys on him. And if you looked at some of the throws in the end zone, he was throwing it into traffic when there was wide open guys on the outside.
Or overthrowing some guys
in
the end zone. There was some wide open guys in the end zone. Had some of his passes batted down early in the game, too. I don't know what that did to him.
When's the last time you've seen somebody get four batted passes? Even Drew Brees, who's 6 foot, doesn't get batted passes down that much.
You know, you guys are talking about missed, not going through his progressions, and I'm talking about red zones and missing guys, but nobody's brought up the fact that this dude threw three interceptions.
Oh, no, he did. Yeah.
No, I'm saying you're not bringing that. It's not the interceptions that you're bringing up. It's the guys he missed.
What's the horrible – he threw one interception. I don't know where he was even throwing to. It's the same thing. He's not ready. He's not the guy. He's not the guy that's going to get you to where you want to go. When he gets flustered, that's against a good team, that's the kind of mistakes he's going to make. Against Arkansas, Tennessee, Auburn, yeah, he can get away with making some mistakes and rolling out and trying to find somebody. You can't do that against Alabama.
Okay, Ken, let me ask you this, and Sam, jump in here too. We sit here on October 18th, and we talk about the games that have played, but we know that nobody in college football had a proper preseason. We know that whatever Kirby wants to do in getting ready for his season, he spends X amount of time looking at all the quarterbacks that you talked about. I realize one of them was hurt, but they did not have the preparation time that they would normally have going into a season. Okay, that's all the teams. So I'm saying, that being equal, isn't this where Kirby and Nick Saban and all the other coaches that we talk about, Jimbo and all those guys, this is where they earn their money? Because we talk about the coaching is 10 times more important on the college level than it is the pro level. What are you not seeing Kirby doing that aggravates you Georgia fans as far as is it the decisions to let this guy stay in the game as a quarterback? Is it not preparing them? Is it the adjustments? I just want to know what lacked in the beginning of the season is rearing its ugly head right now.
Well, I think, for one, why Georgia is this predicament, because they had a quarterback that wasted a month of their time in the preseason taking all the number one quarterback reps and then opting out. That's one problem. And the second problem is, they wanted to ride, it seems, for all that Kirby says, they wanted to ride with JT Daniels. But for whatever reason, he couldn't get his knee cleared. So they thought DeJuan Mathis looked better than Stetson Bennett. And we all know how that went out, underway in Arkansas. And then Stetson comes in, and he does good. So I think Kirby's like, well, we're just going to ride this guy. You know, he's the only other quarterback I have left other than Carson Beck, who's a true freshman, and JT Daniels, who I don't know why we're not playing. Maybe he's still hurt. I don't know. I have no idea why JT Daniels has not gotten to a game yet. That's right. It's bad, and that's not me. That's all Georgia fans are asking the same question. Why do we bring in this five-star guy from USC who was supposed to be backing up Jamie Newman, and all of a sudden he's third-string quarterback? What is happening?
Sam, agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a big question. You wanted to see him because you know what's coming up after this for this team. You know, you said that Florida's out there, and of course we didn't get to see Florida this week, right, or their coach who tested positive as well, that Mullen. So, you know, we hope they can get all that things cleared up down in Gainesville. But, I mean, those are some things, some questions that have to be asked. And I don't know what you expected, Ken. I think Ken was thinking that Kirby Smart was going to say all those things after the game. He's not going to say those things after the game. Now, he may have felt the same, some of the things that you're saying, Ken, but he wasn't going to go out there and basically berate his quarterback in the post game after this. We watch for a difference, yeah, if we see somebody else taking snaps with the first team this week in practice. I think that's what we watch for. But he wasn't going to say anything bad about Stetson Bennett last night in that post game.
And why is it all on Stetson Bennett? Because here's the thing. The running game was pretty much non-existent. You got a guy, Najee Harris got himself more yards than Georgia as a team.
Well, but he did it all in the second half. He did nothing in the first half. Second half, they did that, and that's how they controlled the clock and shortened the game.
And because, the adjustments, that's what I'm getting back to. The adjustments that Saban seems to make that Kirby doesn't.
Well, once they got behind, they didn't want to run the ball anymore. This thing turned on the dime, guys. Stetson Bennett, they turn it over. He throws an interception. They get a 90-yard pass down for a touchdown. Georgia goes three and out. They get another touchdown, and now they're up by 10. And they were just down by a touchdown like 2 minutes before. I mean, it was quick.
Sam,
and while this is important, it's because next week some more folks start playing. Next week,
Big Ten,
at 12 noon, Ohio State plays Nebraska. Yeah. You know, Indiana is at Penn State, and the game, I think the primetime game is Michigan Minnesota.
Yeah, I've already been told I won't have access to the TV. I've already been told. So the baseball season will be over, so that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to eat some herb ribs and chill out. All right. Well, listen, man. We'll get NBA. We'll come back to those thoughts. It's just our thoughts on the end of the season. But this seemed to be paramount, and we'll get. We got to get some college football thoughts off our back, because we haven't even touched on what Clemson, a little bit of it, but Georgia Tech and what this team looks like. But moving into the 7 o'clock hour, we are going to get local. Mr. Crenshaw brings us up on what's going on the high school and college level, but again, all locally. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.